let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, would you bless our time together today? We thank you for the truths that we've been looking at for really a number of months. I pray in these final couple of weeks on this series that you will just give real wisdom and clarity and work in a wonderful way. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have finished the lies. And of course, we have been going through the truths that counteract the lies. And today, I want to talk about how important it is that we realize that the battle against the lies is only won with the truth. Now, this is a pretty obvious principle. The only way you can have a lie corrected is to know what is really true. And that's just a normal life. You know, you hear something that's a lie, and then you actually get the facts. Now your thinking is cleared up. Now you don't worry as much, or maybe you worry more. But whatever, you find out, well, this is really the truth, and so therefore what I was hearing was not accurate. And frankly, aren't we sort of used to that today with all of the wrong information out, especially on the internet, and even a lot with our news services? You really have to be looking for the truth. And so we face that in everyday life, but it is far more critical in our personal life when we come to this matter of the lies that Satan will give us. Now, believing a lie, such as circumstances we just talked about, our emotions, lies about our marriage, all of these different topics that we've looked at, the minute you believe a lie, you are now in bondage to that lie. You are now controlled by what that lie says, what it means, how it affects you. And so your whole paradigm of looking at yourself and or the situation around you is warped. And so now you don't have the ability to process it right. That's why Bible deals so strongly with lying and false witness. In fact, Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies, because lies steal the truth from someone and they need to know the truth. And so lying is an affront to others. But for us, believing the lie puts us into bondage to wrong thinking. And the only way you can get out of that bondage is to know what is truly fact. What is Bible revelation? How does God think? What is truly the reality about your life? Over these years, I've had the opportunity to counsel hundreds of people. And I've mentioned this before. If a person struggling emotionally, but they are clear about the fact that they are struggling emotionally, and they have some clarity as to the truth, though they're having a struggle believing it, they are definitely not in deep trouble. A person who truly believes their psychotic lie or falsehood is the person that is in genuine trouble. But the minute you realize I'm not thinking right, my emotions are not correct, I need help, I need to know the truth, well, that person, and I'm talking about severe cases here, that person is on the road to recovery. But you know, in not so severe cases, what we would call severe, a lot of the time, allow satanic lies to control our behavior and our thinking, and so it becomes serious. And so we have to expose the lies through the truth. So let me just say in general, here at the beginning, it is very important to be saturated with truth. That's why you need to be under preaching, under teaching. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be listening to the Word of God. Every opportunity you have, you need to be allowing the Word of God to clarify your mind. And you need to read books that are very safe. You need to have good recommendations on spiritual books. They can be a great help to you. I just was reading an account a couple days ago when I was flying somewhere, and it just was so helpful, the truth that was given in that book. And what it does is it gets you on the right track when it comes to thinking truth rather than lies. And so we've got to be careful too on the other side to not allow Satan any unnecessary ways to get lies to us. Think about it. There's a lot of ways that we get a wrong perception on life and ourselves. Modern entertainment, she brings this up, is one way that Satan can just feed us with thoughts about ourselves, about culture, about life, the whole secular concept. And you know, you get bombarded enough with vicarious involvement in movies and things, you are going to start thinking lies rather than truth. Or you've got to be very careful about different programs that you listen to or blogs that you listen to, because there can be some very subtle lies. In fact, a lot of the warnings in the New Testament are not about unsaved people giving lies. It's talking about those even within the church who are propagating untruth. And so you got to be very careful even with Christian books and Christian podcasts and so forth, that you are not allowing yourself to entertain that which would not be true. One other thing too is you got to be careful of who your friends are, because who you listen to in a more open, vulnerable way, they have a lot of influence on you. And honestly, friends sometimes can give you a perspective that's the very opposite perspective that you need. And that's why you got to start with the Word of God and then be very careful what you allow in your life, because there are voices screaming at us from every direction. But a lot of that we don't have to even have in our life. I've tried over the years to be very careful. Now I have to obviously know what's going on and read some of the latest things that are down the pike, but I have to look at it from a discerning standpoint, not look at it from something that I'm trying to be benefited by. So in the beginning here of this chapter, she just gives a very simple pathway that is extremely good as far as going from the bondage of false thinking about yourself or about life to the freedom of biblical perspective. And first of all, identify the area or the areas of bondage or sinful behavior. In other words, what are areas of your life that you know are not pleasing God? That's very important to be willing to be humble about. Identify the lie at the root of the bondage or behavior. Now, that simple perspective there is gold, okay? Okay, you got a habit you don't like. You got a response you don't like. You've got some behavior that you don't like. And if you can ask God for wisdom, what is it, what lie of Satan causes you to feel free to do that which is not right? You are well on the pathway to getting the solution for it. And then replace the lie with the truth. And we're going to talk about that. This is a spiritual transformational process that is very critical. For me, one of the most exciting things is when we have the opportunity to preach truths about people, such as, let me just give you one. A lot of people have just a sense about themselves of shame and guilt, and they, even though they've confessed their sins, they don't understand their identity in Christ. They don't understand what Christ has done. And so their whole view toward themselves and life is skewed. And I love it when truth begins to dawn on people and they begin to rejoice in what the Lord has done. And they begin to see themselves from a totally different perspective. That's life changing. And it's not that anything happened, but that truth was received. And then, of course, truth has to be acted upon. So the truth has the power to set us free. That's one of the great truths that we have. The Lord Jesus in his high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 17, we have part of that in front of our auditorium there. And it's just a tremendous truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart to you. Set them apart from themselves. Help them to think as you think. Thy word is truth. And you think about it. Just think of all the bestsellers. Think of all the books that are out. Think of all the powerful podcasts that are out today. People are looking for something that's true, right? And you have right now on the table there in front of you, the Bible, and you have the truth. Think of that. You know the origin of man all the way to the final destination of mankind, and you know everything about how God views us, who God is, and then you have the writer of the book indwelling you so that he can illumine you to understand what he wrote. You can't get a better deal than that. I mean, I feel so sorry. People will read 20 bestsellers looking for self-help and still not, you know, they can't get to the real solution if they're not looking at it from a biblical perspective. And so it's very exciting that we have the Word of God. And so the Word of God is the pathway, and truth is the pathway for us to get help. She gives a long extended illustration of her own life in here. It'd be worth your reading, a good humble just, okay, my wife just came in, so that our phones were reacting there, so. Okay, good, all right. but anyway, illustration she gives here, she was in a meeting and somebody just went off on her, and it really did hurt her. She really felt justified in being hurt. The resentment, she was listening to the lie of Satan that she had a right to be resentful. And as she left really being controlled by the Spirit and allowing the flesh to control, she was falling into a lot of lies that began to just really affect her mind and her emotions. And by the way, when you get directly attacked, that's hard. There's just no way around it. And when it's false, now of course, let me just read what she says. Looking back now, I realize I was listening to and believing a number of lies. Lies like, so-and-so intended to hurt me. Well, you don't know that for sure. I deserve to be treated better. I shouldn't have to go through this. We talked about that. The other person was totally at fault. That's what we do whenever we get confronted. No one is totally at fault. I was totally innocent. The damage can't be undone. So-and-so made me angry. I have a right to be angry. I have a right to defend myself and to be sure others know the truth. I just can't let this go. I can't help feel the way I feel. Of course, that covers several different lies that we talked about. And do you see the dangerous path that she went down? And if she had stayed on that path, this book wouldn't be written. There wouldn't be other things that would be a blessing. She would have had a much more miserable life, and something like that can turn a person in a wrong direction for quite a while. So what she did was she was having devotions, and very wisely she went to the Word, and she was just reading the Beatitudes. Well, the Beatitudes are, they really expose, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And then she went on down and in verse 20, or excuse me, 39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And so God was just taking the Sermon on the Mount and all of that and helping her. And then in chapter 6, we read, but if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So what happened there? She had been hurt. It seemed wrong. She was reeling from it and could have gotten into some things that could have injured her whole perspective on life. But what did she have the habit of doing every day?
Getting into the Word.
And so what did the Spirit of God do? He very kindly but firmly convicted her based upon her reading of the Word. And so there, she struggled with that. I won't go through the whole testimony there, but she was on her knees. She finally waved the white flag of surrender and said, I will believe truth over my feelings. I will give this to you. And there was a complete agreement with God. She didn't have a complete emotional release at the moment, but it came step by step as she stayed on that ground to have the right attitude and God worked. So that's a good part of the chapter, is that illustration. I don't always mention the illustrations, but I think anybody here can relate to that. I think things that are difficult in relationships, things that are difficult between people can be where lies can come just about as much as any other situation. And we need to overcome it with truth. So let's, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. Let me just say, ladies, there is the great privilege of being a believer indwelt by the Spirit, that we can live with freedom in our hearts and the winds of heaven touching our soul on a regular basis. And you can know that that's going to be the case, even if you're entering into a time of trouble, you're dealing with difficult situations. God wants us to have a deep conviction that if we will know truth and let truth saturate us versus wrong thinking, that we can live with peace and freedom on a day-by-day basis. That is one of the great places of maturity in the Christian life. You know, the Bible talks about he wants us complete in Christ Jesus. We are to be perfect in Christ Jesus. A lot of that is a Christian who knows truth versus the lies and can discern the lies emotionally, circumstantially, all the different things that are around us, and be able to point it out and have a rest in their soul that the Lord will always help them out of the wrong thinking. And so what you find here in John 8, certainly the Lord here gives us some principles along that line. If you look at verse 31, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and say it with me, ladies, and the truth shall make you free. Now, folks, that is a truth that you need to absolutely and completely believe. The truth will make you free. And it's such a blessing. Go down to verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Living with bitterness, miserable, dangerous, corrupting. Living with resentment, living with anger, living with insecurity, living with fear, living with a sense of pessimism about the future, living with a sense that people are against you, living just with an emotional unhappiness. Those are all things that happen when we are not truth-filled and then acting upon the truth. The Lord wants us to be free from that. Isn't it wonderful we can live free? He didn't say our lives would be free of problems, did he? No, ye shall be free. You know, some of the freest people in the world over the years have been people in prison who for the sake of the Lord, but have walked with God and had tremendous blessing. It's our spirit is not bound by our circumstances if we are in a right relationship with God. So we need to understand that that it is up to us to know the truth and then to receive it into ourselves. We have the verse we often quote, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And so our minds can be daily renewed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said that his inner man was renewed day by day. Now let me ask you, were the circumstances in Paul's life always pleasant? Oh my. Did he ever get hurt by people? Did they betray him? Was he ever wronged? Was he ever disappointed? Well, the answer to all these is yes, 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 and yes. He definitely was struggling with all of these things, and yet he was renewed day by day because he kept his mind on the truth and the fact of eternity rather than the temporal things of life. And so there can be great peace. See, if we wait for our circumstances to change or somebody else to get right with us or our emotions to somehow change and feel better or whatever, if we wait till our health gets strong, whatever the circumstance may be, we are going to be on a roller coaster ride that God does not want us to be on. Life can be a roller coaster ride, but instead of it being bad, you can actually, like kids on a roller coaster, enjoy the roller coaster. I don't know if that's a great illustration or not, but you know, I look at a roller coaster and say, I am not going on that thing. But then I see kids on there, they're screaming and laughing, and I'm thinking, man, I'd about die on that thing. But when we are thinking right, even through the difficulties, God can give us great freedom. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, another verse that you know, but it's just good to look at it here. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. He's dealing with wrong thinking about the Christian life. You know what the wrong thinking in Galatians about the Christian life is? It's a matter of what you do and works. It's not, it's instead of it being God's grace and the Holy Spirit that gives the victory. And bound up by trying to have performance be how you be what you... Now, are we supposed to live right? Absolutely. But it's the Lord that enables us to do it. Well, anyway, in all of that, is as he's talking about it, chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So if you read through the context, you'd realize, what is he saying? No truth, because this falsehood is going to cause you to be very bound. Stay in the liberty. By the way, liberty is not liberty to do what you want. It's the freedom to think right. It's the freedom to know God. It's the freedom to accomplish his will and not be bound by your flesh and yourself, Satan, and the world. Sometimes that word is greatly misused, unfortunately. This matter of overcoming lies is, of course, to know the truth and then embrace the truth. Now, let me just finish with this, and we'll pick up on this again next week as we get a little more into it. But let me just say this. There is a spiritual discipline that you need to ask God to help you develop. And that is when you are, the moment you catch the fact you're not thinking right, you've got an attitude, a mood, a reaction, an insecurity, a hopelessness, whatever, and immediately realize this is not the freedom that God would have me to have. I need to confront this with truth, not be a victim of my emotions. Did everybody hear me? There needs to be a regular decision that I will not go here. This is not healthy. This is not right. Now, obviously, hard things are hard. Tears will come. There are moments of, as you're facing it. But you get on the ground of truth. I'm telling you, ladies, one of the best habits you can get into is to turn away from that sinking into self-pity or the reaction or the emotion and say, I'm not going there. And get your Bible. Get maybe material that you've had in the past. Or communicate with someone that will message truth to you pretty forthrightly. And make the decision, I'm going to have my mind renewed by the Holy Spirit. I am not going to go down this pathway. Do you realize every moment in the flesh that you willfully don't get help on it, you have lost the power of God for that time, and you're not the blessing, and you're not able to do what God wants you to do? Just like we all know we ought not sin, can't go that direction. Well, we've got to, in this, realize, I'm believing a lie. You know, I'm letting myself be hurt. I'm letting the resentment come in. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling trapped by my circumstances. I'm feeling hopeless. Well, there's so many different things. There's so many lies that we've looked at. The minute you realize, that is not biblical, you are right on the pathway of getting this thing conquered. And then get the truth. You know, many times folks will say, I can't memorize anymore. You get on the pathway of dealing with a lie, and God gives you that truth, write it down on your memory sheet. You will memorize that more quickly than you have any idea. You will have so much scripture memorized if you will battle the lie with truth and it means something to you. Why do you want to memorize that? Because the tendency for that lie is going to come at you, and you want to come right back at it with the truth. And you got it in your mind. You've got a powerful weapon when you know that truth. And even though it may be a little harder for you to memorize than it used to be, when it's something that means something to you, there will be a deep desire to keep that in your mind and have that on your regular prayer list. I have a whole list of verses that God has used in my life. And I go over those verses. I've memorized those verses. They are all tools that God can use when I am in another situation in which I need to use them. So we'll talk more about this, but develop the spiritual discipline of confronting the lie as quickly as possible with the truth. And to believe that God will renew your mind. Listen, if you confront the lie enough times, and God gives you victory, even though it's not an easy situation, but you're thinking right, you do that enough times, you're going to get confidence in your life that you don't have to ride the roller coaster. You're going to realize, I'm going to be okay. This may be a battle. I may have to work a little bit at this and ask God for direction, but I've always got the answer. And a peace and a rest will come into your soul where you no longer fear the fact that you're going to get overwhelmed. That is a great place to be in our Christian life. So that's where she's trying, and the author is, to get us to there. So, well, something to talk about there. So we'll follow up one more time on this next week.